Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thank you very much for joining me today for one of our Shadow Board vlogcasts. For those of you who don't know, Tom is an employment law specialist and partner with Baines Wilson and sits on the BetVC board as our legal director. So the aim of these discussions is just to help members and non-members, and particularly those who are just starting out in their career, to understand what's involved in the BetVC and just find out more about all the people who are involved. So I'll kick off some questions, if that's okay, Tom.
Absolutely.
So if you could just start by telling us a bit about yourself and where do you come from and your career history?
Okay. Well, as you said, yeah, I'm Tom. I'm a partner and part owner of a business law firm that's based in Carlisle and Lancaster, Baines Wilson. But I actually grew up in the South Lakes. So I grew up in Ambleside originally. And I went to school in Ambleside and then Coniston and then Ulverston. So I kind of dotted around Cumbria a little bit. And then after my A levels, I actually went to university in Bournemouth, mainly because my sister lived down there. And they actually had a really good reputation for, they had a business law degree, and I specifically wanted to do business law. That was kind of the area of law that interested me, and I'd always fancied doing law. My head teacher back in secondary school said that I would make a what she said was a really good barrister. I think predominantly because I was difficult and argumentative. I think that's probably why she thought that, but ultimately I decided that was probably the career that I wanted to pursue. So I went to do a 4-year degree down in Bournemouth, which had a placement. So it had a sandwich placement in the 3rd year with a law firm, which was really, yeah, genuinely a great thing to do. So any whilst it adds a bit of time, anybody doing any kind of degree that offers you the opportunity to work in the industry, whether it be for a year or whether it be for, you know, any other prolonged period, it was just a great experience of how the world of work in that industry really is. So that was university. Sadly, in my last year of university, my sister who was down there, she actually found out that she had a cancer, and the next 6 months were fairly horrific, and sadly she passed away. So I finished my degree that year, and because of that mainly, I just wanted to come home. I wanted to come home to Cumbria. So I didn't really have a life plan at that point because the rug had kind of gone. But I came back. I started working with a company called Witherslack Group, who they're a group of special education schools and care homes. So I worked for their training company that was doing training for them and external training, some of which was legal training, some of which was kind of education based. And then through them, I met John Wilson, who was a partner at Baines Wilson at a Christmas party. And then, as it happens, got some work experience at Baines Wilson, went back to university to do the kind of postgrad bit that you need to do as a lawyer, to become a lawyer. Got a training contract with Baines Wilson as well. And then I've progressed through. I've worked my way, you know, up from trainee to part owner. But originally, I think it's fair to say, I kind of, it was right place, right time, and I sort of schmoozed my way into the initial opportunity, and then obviously it's then been on me to take it from there.
I think that's a really key takeaway, the fact that like how important networking is in any like business or walk of life. I feel like as much as like everyone's individual talent and determination is important in the jobs they get, I think people need to understand the power of networking and really like reaching out and meeting people. So that's really helpful. So who do you think was most important in terms of your career development, if you had to pick like a single person?
I don't know whether everyone has said this or not, but I don't think you can pick a single person. I don't think anyone should pick a single person necessarily, if I'm really honest. Look, I'm really lucky in that I've had, kind of family who help you and advise you along the way. I was really lucky in that training as a lawyer with Baines Wilson means that, unlike maybe bigger firms, you kind of sat side by side with people who are really experienced at what they do, and you can learn from each of them. So each of the partners that I've worked with has contributed something, but also and this is sometimes overlooked, like clients and customers, certain clients will shape the way they'll shape your career, and they will make you better at what you do, because I have some clients who accept what I say and they don't question it because they just accept it, and that's fine, and obviously it makes for an easier life. But I have some clients who are my favorite ones, who really, they want to know every angle of everything. They want things really explaining to them in kind of real detail, and they're brilliant, because it really sharpens you up. It makes you be
you get something back.
Sharp, and it's great. It's like it's not a challenge. If you know your stuff, it's not a challenge, but it's a nice challenge, because you kind of intellectually it forces you to engage, and it almost makes you feel like that they're really interested. This is great. So that's a bit of a sidestep of that question. Ultimately, look, if this is advice to other people, many and various people will shape your career. They'll shape the way you are and what you do. And I think the more people you get to interact with, if they're training you or you're training them, there is always something you can learn from people. So the more people you interact with, the more likely it is that you'll learn more.
Yeah, that was a bit of a trick question, really, because I definitely agree. I think particularly that point about like more and varied influences, because I feel like, and like you said, when you're doing upwards management of other people or downwards management, they can up manage you, and I mean mentor. I feel like you learn a lot from that. So this is another big one, and so you can take this wherever you like. What would you think would be your best piece of career advice to someone just starting work?
I think my best piece of advice for someone just starting is just do what you can to get yourself noticed. If you go out your way to get yourself noticed, whether it be at networking events or whatever it may be, there is a risk that some people will say, they're a bit brash or whatever it may be, don't fancy them. But other people will notice you fundamentally. If you don't do anything to get yourself noticed, no one will ever notice. No one will notice you. And that will make it harder. And I'm not saying be outrageous. You don't need to do anything outrageous for that. But, a good example, I was at a cluster meeting recently, and one of the students from over the way actually came up to me and said, I'm quite interested in a career in law. Is there any chance that I might be able to get some work experience? Great, perfect. Of course you can. You've taken the time to come and engage me. So we've sorted that out. That'll be happening next year. So just be bold enough to politely put yourself out there.
Yeah, definitely. When I was like first going to conferences and things, or even before, even at school, when you get to go and shadow people, my dad always used to say, you just got to ask one question. Like if you go for a whole day or like a series of days, just ask one, because then people will notice you, and you probably will end up having more conversations off the back of that question than you just getting the answer. And now I do it without even thinking. And if I'm honest, I'm probably quite annoying and ask quite a few. But I've met so many interesting people just through doing that, and it's so easy because then they often like approach you, because I think you have to be fairly brave to do what that guy did or girl and come in up to you and ask. But yeah, props to her or him. So could you tell us a little bit more about what you do for the Bet PC?
So I sit as the legal director for the cluster, which means that I deal with things like contracts and memorandums of understanding that we enter into. I make sure that we document everything correctly. So for example, Diane's come on as chief executive, so making sure that her contract's right and things like that. So I do all of that, but it's probably a bigger job than that. There will inevitably be legal directors in various guises out there who they kind of stick to their bit. They do their legal bit and they don't really do anything else. For a reasonable period of time, I think as directors we all contribute to the discussion of the cluster and the direction of the cluster and what the members maybe want, and kind of understanding the members' needs, because we are all members in our own right. We've all got a vested interest in making the cluster as successful as it can be, and that means making it as successful as possible for the kind of broad cross-section of membership. So you're making sure that everybody's interests are being met in some way, rather than your particular focus on large, small, whatever it may be. So it's quite a varied position on the board. My default is I try and make sure that we do everything right legally, but fundamentally it's bigger than that. And at any kind of one time, sometimes it takes up quite a lot of time. Sometimes it feels like Baines Wilson's a part-time role and business cluster is more of the full-time role. But I've been doing it for, I was on the management team first, doing the legal advice, and then it was decided it should really be a director position. So I've been across those two. I've been doing it since 2014, so 7 years, quite a long time now, which means I have a pretty good understanding of the way the cluster kind of operates, and I've seen a few people come and go. But I think it's a really important, not necessarily role, it's important to keep obviously the legals right, but the role the cluster plays is, I think, super important in Cumbria, in the supply chain, and effectively being a mechanism by which opportunities can not necessarily be created. It's not there to create opportunities. It's there to spotlight opportunities and probably help businesses realise opportunities where, absent the cluster, it would I think be a lot harder for them to be in the position to realise those opportunities. So that's, I think, I've gone on a bit more there about than what you asked me about the role on the board, but that is my
find it. That's great. No, that is really good. So in terms of where you see the Bet BC, I don't know, in like 5 years, where do you see the future of it going and developing?
Well, this is excellent. I get to sidestep another question. So it'll go where the members want it to go, Robin, ultimately. It's always been, it's a cyclical thing, or it has been a cyclical thing, the cluster. There's times when it's been, the cluster has been very closely aligned to kind of bigger organisations. There's been times when it's been more critical of those organisations because, for whatever political reasons or the members are requiring that. I think it's had a bit of a shift over the last kind of 3 or 4 years, where it's now in a really strong position, and everything's almost aligned. If you look at the way the cluster interacts with Sellafield, NDA, the bigger organisations, and helps the smaller organisations interact. I think that will only get better as we move forward, and a lot of those opportunities will come through more and more. And I'm not, look, Sellafield, it's just one of them, but they do a phenomenal job as well in their own right. Yeah, completely nothing to do with us. They do a phenomenal job in trying to get those opportunities flowing down. Otherwise, I think there's a real opportunity for the cluster, in part through what it's been doing with the Investing Cumbria Alliance, to really look at how inward investment can work into Cumbria as well, and how we attract inward investment, and two, how we can help inward investors to utilize their money and time and resource for a kind of greater good, and do good not just for them as a business, but also for the community that they're coming into. So I think Hazel Blears often says it, that doing good is good business, and I think that's absolutely right, and I think the cluster's got a part to play in that.
So that leads on really nicely to my next question. So I'm a social impact lead for my project. I work on a Sellafield project, and I have like quite a good understanding of some of the social issues that exist in Cumbria, and so I'm just wondering, like, what is like West Cumbria missing? Like, how can we market Cumbria better, and what skills do you think we need to kind of make this balance?
I think you have to be an expert in a variety of things to be able to answer that properly, I have to say, of which I'm probably an expert in none. But ultimately, you need inward migration. Yeah, we need that. And I know that the LEP, for example, do a really good job on that and are stepping up. Quite a lot of work they're doing on place marketing and trying to attract that. To do that, you obviously need decent housing, decent schooling, decent opportunities. The funny thing is, if you look at the various businesses and industries dotted around Cumbria, there's actually a lot of opportunity already. So a lot of it is about persuading families predominantly to migrate here and persuade them that it's every bit as good as living elsewhere in the country or the world. And that's not going to be the case for everyone. Look, some people will inevitably want to have a apartment in the middle of London, and they're probably not going to want to live in rural Cumbria. Yeah, that's just the way it is. But there is an opportunity for more people to come and work here. And I think the COVID's probably taught us that. And I know there is a bit of inward migration in terms of people coming in, but probably working remotely for businesses that are outside the county. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing is not really for me to say. I think ultimately it means that there are people here spending money in local businesses. So, but look, industry-wise, there's lots of industries across the whole county crying out for people at the moment. So I think the combination of COVID and Brexit has meant that inward migration piece has never been more important.
Mm. That's great, thank you. So I think the last question really, so I'm sustainability lead for the VetBC Shadow Board. So it's obviously a topic very much in the public eye with COP26 at the moment. So this isn't a trick question, but it would be good to get your definition of sustainability and why you think it's important for business and then ultimately the VetBC.
Okay. Well, sustainability for me is it's a bit of an abstract concept, I have to say. So for me, sustainability is about for a long period of time, I think society, countries, people were consumers. We've kind of pillaged the earth to the point where it's creaking at the seams. And sustainability in its simplest form is, well, what are we going to do to make sure that those seams don't burst and there's still a world here for everybody to inhabit in 100 years, 200 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, you know? And that's the big point. Then it's, well, so what? And what does that mean in terms of our day-to-day lives now? And I actually think sustainability as a topic is, what can we do to engender changes in people's day-to-day lives so that those kind of 100-year, 500-year, 1,000-year questions and risks are averted? And I think that's the challenge. You know, anybody can say, oh yeah, it means the world not getting hotter, or, you know, we can us not consuming as much. But actually, what does it mean in real terms? You know, switching your lights off, not having your tap running, you know, changing your boiler. it's an education piece about the day-to-day minutiae, because actually I think that will make the biggest difference.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. I think it puts people off a lot when they hear a big term and all the theories and everyone doing a lot of talking and not much doing. But I think, yeah, it's so key to make people understand what is happening and then how they can make changes as individuals to day-to-day habits. But the difficult thing is we're very lazy and we're creatures of habit, so it's definitely more difficult than it sounds. But
absolutely, but you're probably better, it sounds very charitable, but you know, you're better off buying something secondhand that's already been made off a charity shop website than you are buying a new t-shirt that's had however many litres of water pumped into it, you know, in a factory and that has been transported around the world. You know, it's just thinking about, well, what's the impact of what I do, what I buy. None of us are perfect and none of us will ever be perfect. So it's just a case of, can we do the little things? The little things will add up to a lot.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. And because I also feel that some people use that as an excuse, like, oh, well, I can't do this, so why should I bother doing the recycling? Or like, or so and so is not doing it, so why should I do it? But I feel like in any aspect of your life, you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't walk around with no clothes on outside just because someone else is doing it. Maybe you would, but
taking a turn now, Robin.
But I just feel like, yeah, we should just concentrate on changing as much as we can as individuals and just doing our bit.
Yeah, and I think nuclear, just on a wider point, I think, look, nuclear's got it's got a really important role to play in that. You know, because I think a lot of people overlook the fact that nuclear is fundamentally, you know, it's a clean form of energy. So, and it's reliable and it's consistent. So, yeah, that has to be part of the picture. And bringing this all back to Cumbria, that's got to be good for Cumbria if we can get nuclear new then. So
that's probably a topic for another time, that one. But that's great. Thank you so much for talking to me.
No problem at all. Been a pleasure.
Hope everyone's enjoyed watching. All right, thank you.
Thanks.